Welcome to Jewish History with Rabbi David Katz, connecting the human side to Jewish history. For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.
Hi, it's Wednesday night. Well, I'm still up and want to do the Haftorah and call it a week. The Haftorah of Yisrael, which is being kindly sponsored by my good friend, the Pollocks. Paul and Kathy Pollock wrote to me last week when I was still in the hospital that they want to dedicate the podcast in appreciation to Hashem. I'm quoting an appreciation to Hashem for all the simchas lately. My own, me, myself, and I. And then the simchas in the family of our friends, David and Kathy Schwartz, as well as our former rabbi in Columbus, Rabbi Chaim Yosef Ackerman, who was a student of mine a million years ago. And we all share in the, and may we all share in the great simcha of seeing all of our hostages return to their families in good health. Well, amen to that. Okay. Thanks very much to the Pollocks. And I hope this week, Mirz Hashem, I'll be able to finish off my lecture series on Motzei Shabbos and at Shomrei and get a little rest. Although the semester started, we're looking at the very famous Haftorah of Yisroel, which is the beginning of, well, it's from Yeshayahu Isaiah. You know it because of Kadosh, 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 Shem, Sos, Melech, Lord's Quota that you say all the time in the davening. Here, as best it seems, I mean, there's a difference of opinion on this, we seem to be the introduced to the first prophecy of the prophet Isaiah, of Yeshayahu HaNavi. And I think this is a strange Haftorah. Excuse me, when I say strange Haftorah, the way they arrange these things to land in Shul is a little weird. As I've said many times, very often they'll plop together two things. So it's Isaiah 6 and Isaiah 7. That part is true, that it's one continuous text in the book of Isaiah. Although they'll sort of cut the chapter 7 part, only takes these 6 psukim, and then it flies off to somewhere else. The last 2 or 3 psukim are from chapter 9. Doesn't want to get into the exact messianic stuff. Hope I'm not being confusing. Let me put it this way. But the two don't really have to do one with the other. The second part of Torah, chapter 7, and again, it's a Geisha chapter headings, but it doesn't matter. Vahibi me ochas ben Yosi, ben Yosem nu Ziyahu. On the other hand, the first chapter that we're going to start is Mishnah Samelcha Mos Hamelchu Ziyahu. So there was a king of Yehuda named Uzziah. Then he was followed by Yosam for 16 years, and then by Ochaz. So obviously there are many years apart between chapter 6 and chapter 7. So let's put chapter 7 aside and look at chapter 6, what is called chapter 6. And here we have the young Isaiah, we don't know how young, who the Chazal tells a member of the royal family, and he's obviously been working on becoming a Navi or something like that. And in the year of the death of King Uzziah, that's interesting. It's unclear, and because it's unclear, there's a lot of speculation what that means. Because the King Uzziah was really known from the book of Dereyamim, not from the book of Melachim. You know, the book of Melachim is primarily about the kings of the north, and a little bit about the kings of the south. And Dereyamim is the opposite. So there was an earthquake, as we know, Barash, in the time of Uzziah. On the other hand, he's famous for being successful for 8 innings and screwing up the 9th inning because of Cheskoso Gavalibo, something like that, that he became very powerful and successful because he was not an idol worshiper, unlike many of his predecessors. And I've spoken about him in the past. I want to cause it over. Some guy got to him in NCSY. I mean, that's really what happened. That's what it says. He met a guy named Zechariah who frummed him out. Because his father and grandfather are not so firm. And it's interesting. You look it up. It's, I remember, by just from memory, he met a guy named Zechariah who was discerning in the ways of Hashem. That is to say, he was good at Kiruv. He was a good NCSY director. Anyhow, Uziel was successful, but and they began a big army and he conquered the countries and stuff like that. But then it got to his head and he wanted to offer the incense to take the job of the Kohen Gadol, and then he was struck with leprosy. Okay. And he was remained in leprosy the rest of his life, remained in quarantine. Now, our pasuk says that this vision in chapter 6 takes place b'shnas hamosa melech Uziel, when he died. So obviously different opinions. Some say when he died means when he got the leprosy, and others say no, 16 years later is when Yitzhak died. Okay, it doesn't matter. And the references are to it. And again, it's not clear under the Mefarshim, you know, did the famous earthquake that's often referred to that took place during his time, did it happen early in his reign, which is the plain way of reading it? And I believe the Gemara, if I remember from distant memory, in Tinus, you know, talks about, you know, the earthquake and then the locust plague and the famine and all that stuff. Alternatively, the earthquake could have taken place the day he committed the blasphemy of offering up the incense, which is the Kohen Gadol's job, the Kohen's job, in the Beis Hamikdash and got struck with leprosy. And maybe, you know, the divine wrath was such that the earthquake hit the country. There are some opinions, I think, there are Radak, whoever, along those lines. Now, here's the point. Why is this the Haftorah of the week? The answer is because it matches, or at least the idea is it's supposed to match the Ten Commandments story. What's the pshat? In the Ten Commandments story, Moshe Rabbeinu sort of reaches new heights, especially from the Maimonidean perspective, because we have here an unbelievable experience called Maimon Har Sinai, which can't really be explained because God, by definition, is an unknowable thing. And if he created everything, then, you know, nothing is true about God because it's created about God. And all the expressions we say about him are not actually correct. We just have to say them anyway. But that God is sort of like not someone who can talk to you. And yet, in my mind, I've seen it as what happens. And what we have to say, like I read you yesterday, the Rambam, for example, in the 13 principles said that Moshe Rabbeinu reached a high level, like a malach, and, you know, was taken over, so to speak, like a robot from a higher power. And Moshe took it as far as a human being could take it. Okay? It's in contrast with the other Jews who were scared, right? As a kolos for Salapidim, Vayaram Vayanu, Vayamdu Mirachot. The Jews were trembling at the sound and light show that was displayed in Mount Sinai. The kolos, the brachim, the kol shofar, the kol Hashem, the whole business. It was too much for them. They told Moshe, as we all know, you take over and handle the thing. You be our intermediary. We can't handle it. And the idea of Vayamdu Mirachot, that the Jews stood back, is first of all physical, but second of all, is metaphorical. We can't get so close to God. You understand what I'm saying? Is it too powerful? So if I tell you, the uneducated person, you the listener out there in the podcast, who is not a meditation person, because who is? And you say, you know, clear your mind, don't think of anything except God, to the exception of anything else. I mean, it won't happen. Right? For 99.99%. It won't happen. So, Moshe Rabbeinu was able, it did happen. And therefore, he took it to the point of the most significant event in the history of monotheism, where Moshe saw, perceived, that there's, you know, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And that means that his encounter in Har Sinai was without intermediaries and peh el peh. And that means there are no malachim hanging around. The whole story that they have, the Agadita story that we all know of, that Moshe was sent by Hashem to go get the Torah and the angels attacked him and this and that and the other. I mean, none of that is literally true. They're trying to convey that when you talk about malachim, it means, how should I put it? Some kind of intermediary figure, because you can't go all the way directly yourself without an intermediate figure. So let me see, if me, myself, and I saw Malach, which I haven't seen, that'd be a very high madrega. I mean, if it wasn't drunk, you know, if it wasn't fooling myself. But if I actually, mom, saw a Malach, that's pretty good. But on the other hand, that's not seeing Hashem. It's an infinitely beyond infinitely less than that. Nevertheless, it's pretty good. I don't think anybody knows Saul Malach. Remember in the story of Shimshon, oh, we're going to die because we've seen an angel, you know. I mean, you know, Malach is not a little thing. But Moshe doesn't see Malachim and all that, not by the time he gets to Har Sinai. Instead, the Chazal go to great lengths to say that God got rid of the Malachim. He told Moshe to go down the mountain. And it's an unmediated kind of exposure between Bo Shalom on the one hand and his creatures on the other. And that's because Moshe Rabbeinu is unique. Lo kom Yisrael ke Moshe od Navi Omav et Ismunoso. The supremacy of the prophet prophecy of Moses is one of the basic principles of Judaism. And fine. Now we're going to contrast it with the person who's generally regarded as the greatest in the Nevi'im, that is to say, the greatest in the Nevi'im recorded in the Tanakh, which is Yeshaya, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, and Treyozer. So a general opinion would be that the greatest of them would be Yeshayahu. I believe that Barbanel has about that introduction, but it doesn't matter. The way he writes, his language, and the intimacy of his association with God is one that surpasses, you know, what we hear about the other prophets. So when you see stuff in Yeshayahu, it's, you know, unusually fine. Afal Pikain, he ain't no Moshe Rabbeinu, right? What do I mean? In our Haftorah, as I'm sure you know, Yeshayahu Novi says that in a certain year, in the year when Uzziah died, I had a vision of God. I saw God sitting on a high and lofty throne as train filled the temple. So in other words, he has a physical image. Now, this is something that didn't happen, okay? Now, I don't mean it's fantasy. It's a nevuah. So he didn't actually see God. You know what I mean? No, let's put it this way. God is not actually in a house sitting on a throne, you know, with smoke and angels and stuff like that. It's an expression, right? Because you cannot describe Hashem. Not in his essence. I can't even use the word essence because he created the word essence. But we're not going to go into those, you know, logical problems. Whatever it means, he saw I saw God sitting on a high lofty throne and his train filled the temple, meaning his garb. Now, that means that he had a vision of Hashem in a place. That's not what Moshe had, because God's not in a place. He created place. He created a space, correct? In spite of what I just said, halavai, you and I should have a good Shemoneh Esrei to imagine Hashem standing in front of us or something like that, all right? We're sitting on a throne in front of us. Even though it'd be a logical fallacy, it wouldn't matter because at least you have some kind of an image you can grasp on of what the Ribbono Shel Olam is all about, even though it's not actually true. That's all a person could do. He can't get the true one. Moshe took it as far as he could take it. And when he gets to Kisisa, he'll say, show me your face and all that, you know, and show me your ways. But there's only so far that you can take it. Now, Yeshayahu is not a Moses. He sees God, first of all, in a much less clear way. And the Chazal themselves contrast between what they call the Aspaklar Yamira and the Aspaklar Shenamira, the clear glass and the unclear glass. You know, if I see you through frosted glass is one thing. If I see you through clear glass is something different. So how does Yeshayahu record the prophetic vision he saw? And I repeat, this didn't actually happen. It's a nevuah, that is to say, he saw it in a prophetic dream, in a prophetic vision. But unlike Stamazaya dream, which is a fantasy, right, has no roots in reality, a nevuah, although it didn't happen, does have roots in reality. That's the point. And so, how does he describe Hashem? The answer is in a smoky room surrounded by angels. And so on and so forth, right? So if he sees Hashem on a throne, surrounded by angels, in a room full of smoke, with loud noises, those, as I understand it, those are all indications that he didn't actually see Hashem. Now, by the way, how about you and I should get to this madriga? But nevertheless, to be fair, babe, he didn't actually see Hashem. He had a vision of Hashem. Right? And the vision he has of God is just a vision. It's pretty good. It's in the Torah. We refer to it every day. We say Kadosh, 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 Karzel, Zem, Yomer. All that we do, it's pretty high. No question about it. But it ain't Hashem, right? Because it can't be. And he's not Moshe Rabbeinu, who was able to talk peh, peh, meaning without all this stuff in the intermediary. So let's say you, the listener, wanted to think about Hashem, which you're supposed to do. Matter of fact, at least during davening and really all day long, if you want to get down to it. So what does that mean? What am I supposed to think of? You have to form some kind of an idea or a vision or something like that, even though you pinch yourself and tell yourself it's not the real thing. The alternative is not to think about God, but to think about the, you know, the Baltimore Ravens or something like that, right? But if you want to think about Hashem, you have to come up with some either idea or image or something. Daniel saw God as an old man with a long white beard, right? Moshe at one point sees God as a ish. How's it going in what do you say to Adam Zemiris? You know, Kigibar, something or other, as a young, powerful Hashem ish Mochama, right? We have these expressions, but you realize when you see them, they're not actually correct. It's just what a person is supposed to do. And when he says he sees God on a throne surrounded by angels, he sees a cluttered place, so to speak. He doesn't see the absence of anything except one reality. He sees a multifaceted reality in the heavens. Okay? Now, I repeat, that's after a lot of nevuah and meditation, introspection. I mean, you and I are never going to get to that madriga. But nevertheless, this is where he took it. And he sees this image, as they say, of the angels praising God. Kadosh, 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 and all that. And it's real loud. Okay, so the doorway shakes and the house fills with smoke. What does it mean, filling with smoke? When a house fills with smoke, I can't see clearly. Get it? So if I'm seeing Hashem in a house filled with smoke, I don't see clearly. I can tell you're there, but I can't see clearly. That's an aspaklar shenemir, an unclear glass. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't see, you know, things filled with smoke. The people did. That's why they were afraid. It's a horror shame. Remember, that's the meaning that we know that the people are like freaking. Bnei Israel at Har Sinai. Moshe can walk right into the fire. You remember that? The mountain was full of fire, and Moshe walked in there for 40 days and 40 nights. Isn't that right? He walks into the fire, the Arafel, whatever it is. Why? Because he realized it's not really there. I mean, it's there at some level of reality, but it's not there at the highest level of reality. You see? So he sees these fire angels, that's where it's rough him. And as you know, he says, I'm Ish Tamis Vasayim, and I live among the people Ish Tamis Vasayim. So my lips are tummy, and so are those of my generation. That has always been a very weird expression. I know the difference before Shem, I've never liked it. And to this day, I don't know exactly what it means, because it's an unusual expression. I'm full of tummy lips, right? Now, I guess the plainest, simplest meaning is, I ain't an angel. Amal talks with a different type of talk. So when we say they're praising God in Shemayim, you know, they don't have tummy lips because they're malachim. They have a Yetzer Hara. They do not have a Yetzer Hara. And so when they talk about the heavenly praises, I mean, that's what that means, right? You're hearing, you know, creatures don't have a Yetzer Hara. But I'm a Tomis Messiah. I'm a human being. Man is partially sinful. That's who we are. We struggle with it, or you're supposed to. I get that. But man is partially sinful. As they gate us, you know. And the bottom line is that Yeshayahu feels himself inadequate. Okay? Now, the Chazal, very famously in a Midrashic fashion, very nicely say, you can complain about yourself, but don't say Lashon Hara Klal Yisrael. And when the angel goes and puts a coal in his mouth and burns it and purifies it, some say that's a purification ritual, and some say that that's a punishment ritual. In other words, you deserve to have your mouth burned for speaking ill of Klal Yisrael. That's, you know, following the lines that I said the other day about Moshe Rabbeinu. You can look at Moshe Rabbeinu as Mr. Avos Yisrael. Alternatively, you can look at Moshe Rabbeinu as Mr. Maimonidean, meditation, yoga classes, the person who was able to concentrate and reach the highest concentration of intellectual abstraction with what he called the active intellect, and, you know, perceive as much as is possible to perceive of God. The interpretation that Yeshaya is punished for speaking of Klal Yisrael, that's your like Hasidic type interpretation, where to understand God, you need Avos Yisrael. If you say that Klal Yisrael has Tumas Yisrael, you're violating the Avos Yisrael clause. On the other hand, if you say the Maimonidean way, then the Tumas Yisrael simply refers to inadequacy. How can a human being who has Ra in him undertake to do the kind of praise of God that angels do? You get what I'm saying? No, who the heck are you to praise Hashem? You're not even worthy to talk about Hashem in the first place. Who says he wants you in the choir? But I'm wrong, because the whole point of Yeshayahu is God wants you in the choir. Sinful and inadequate as you are. You know what I'm saying? Sinful and inadequate as you are. And that's the meaning of touching with the coal. So it's very full of metaphors over here. Okay? And if you notice, the angel doesn't touch him directly. He touches him with tongues. How should I put it? There's no direct contact between the prophet and the angel, meaning he realizes that, the angel is not God, right? But in any event, by touching your lips, your iniquity is removed and your sin is atoned for. So once you get past the initial stage, then he gets the summons to prophesy. Because God says, "It's me eshlach umi elech loch. Who can I send? Who'll be my shliach?" That is to say, who'll be the Navi, right? Who will be the Navi? And Yeshayahu volunteers. Now here we have the big difference between, because he says, how's it go? Hineni sholcheni. Here I am, send me. Now, this is very different than Yirmiyahu. Because Yirmiyahu doesn't want the job. And God says, tough luck. V'terem etzarcha v'betni yidaticha. You know, I had you in mind to be a prophet before you were born in your mother's womb. Navi l'goyim nesaticha. I'm going to make you a navi for the goyim, and for everybody else knows, you're going to have a lot of negative stuff to say. You know what I'm saying? A lot of negative stuff to say. Okay. That's interesting. But Yirmiyahu doesn't want it. Right? He has a tragic life in that respect. Yeshayahu is more like a simple dick of guy. Hineni sholcheni. If you got a message, I'm available. And God gives him the message. Now the message is a bummer. Tell the people they're going to be destroyed. Basically, no. Tell the people, lich miyamart alom azeb, or whatever it is. Hashmin lova ozna hachbei ozna hasha. Tell everybody to stuff up their eyes, their ears, and their mouth, okay, or their heart. So we have the idea of orlas halev. You have foreskin of the heart, which means the stubbornness that is in a person. The unwillingness to recognize his own faults and change. That's called the foreskin around the heart. And God is saying, increase that. So to use modern language, you're worried about clogging up the arteries? Fress more. Eat all the gribbiness, Eat all the stuff with the super fatty. Have 10 sandwiches of chicken schmaltz. That'll clog up your arteries. Hashmein leiv omazeh. And do the same for the eyes and the ears, right? Which means I want you to tell the people that God is very angry at you, right? Now you see, Yirmiyahu was told to say bad things and he didn't want to do it, but he had to do it anyway. Yeshayahu will just go and do it, right? And what's the message? The kingdom is going the wrong direction. The people are interestingly stuffed up in their eyes, ears, and heart. This is an interesting state of mind, state of being, when by nature, psychology, and culture, you're not willing to listen to thoughts of change, right? I'm thinking, there's certain types of Jews out there, for example, how should I put it? They're not interested. I mean, I've met that. They're not interested in changing whatsoever in Yiddishkeit, right? When somebody be a Shomer Shabbos, it's not a Chinaman's chance. It's not going to happen, right? Because they're very set in their ways, and nothing's going to change their mind. That's who they are. And then you have other people. They may or may change. You never know. But they're at least willing to listen, right? To consider alternatives. That's not so common. So apparently in the generation of Yeshayahu, people were already bad. And God's saying, stuff them up more because I'm preparing a Shoah. I'm preparing a Holocaust. Actually, the word Shoah comes from our parsha, right? Because he says, how long will this go on? This state of being in total denial. Adashim Shoah remain Yoshev until the cities lie desolate with any inhabitants. So the population is exterminated. Sha'u from the word Shoah. Ubatim mean Anamadama Tisha Shmama. And the land will also be Shmama. It will be Tisha'eb. So the word Shoah, they picked up in the 20th century to describe the utter destruction of 6 million and a whole world of Jewry by taking the word from Yeshayahu. You see, I don't believe they used it in other times. So who knows? And he says, even if there's 10% left for Assyria, even if there's 10% remains, it'll be consumed again. But the stump will remain. Okay? The tree will be chopped down, the stump will remain. Okay? The tree will be chopped down, but the stump will remain. That's the key element of this Haftorah. The Yeshayahu is going to tell him you have a Shoah coming, but there will be survivors. See that? The idea of chopping down a tree and keeping the stump is a biblical theme that you see also in the book of Daniel when Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, foreshadowing that he's going to lose his throne for a limited period of time, but eventually he will regain the throne. And the way they describe it is his tree will be chopped down, but the stump will remain. You see, if you uproot the stump of the tree, then you can't rebuild that tree. If the stump remains, it's possible the tree grow back. And that's talking happened over and over again in Jewish history. They destroyed the tree, I'm sorry to say, but the stump remained. Okay? And that's what he says, Od ba'asiri of a shabba ha'isa levar, ko'ele b'chon, like a big oak tree. I b'shalech es matzev es bam. When it's chopped down, right? When the tree is chopped down, I should b'shalech es matzev es bam. Was chopped down, the stump remains. So, Zera Kodesh Mitzavta. In this case, the stump is the Zera Kodesh. Right? The survivors. The Zera Kodesh. There are shoals of survivors that used to call Zera Kodesh. I've heard of that. Now, what's the point of all this? Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't talk about this in the Ten Commandments. There is more of a theological business. And the question of reaching heights, to have an exposure directly to God, and the people Kentucky cannot handle it. Because by the time the story's over, as you know very, very well, they tell Moshe Rabbeinu, you take over, we can't handle it. By the time you get to Yeshayahu, there's no attempt of a direct, unmediated experience of God. There's a mediated one. And you have a different Zach, which is that Hashem has a message for the people, which is you're far gone. Your arteries are clogged, so to speak. You know, there will be terrible consequences, but you will not perish. Or let me put it this way, you will die, but your children will survive, as we would say today. Is that a positive or a negative kind of prophecy? Well, listen very closely, because very Jewish. It's a positive and a negative. It's negative on the individual level. It's positive on the communal level. Individually, On an individual level, there'll be a Holocaust. But the stump will remain. The claw will remain. So if your primary allegiance is to yourself, so then you're doomed. You generation, he says, because you're sinners and you won't change. But if you're worried about your legacy, and will the claw you saw survive, that it will survive. So it turns out, it's very much of a communalistic, at least that's the way I see it, very communalistic kind of prophecy, which therefore kind of matches the story of the Ten Commandments, which is, again, a very communalistic kind of revelation. God does not appear to one man, Moshe, but to the whole Klal Yisrael. And even though that's difficult to bring about, and the people don't understand all the rest of it, Al Pi Ken Hashem does it anyway. And that may be, at least in my opinion, the most interesting connection between the Parsha Shavuot on the one hand and the Haftarah on the other. I've gone a little bit over time. But anyway, I want to thank the Pollocks who heard I was in the hospital and went and sponsored these two talks. I thank them very much. And I hope that should wrap up the week. Everybody should have a good Shabbat.
For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.